Father, we bask in your holiness. We bask in your presence. Thank you so much for this presence under the covering of our fathers that is so strong. Have your way in our midst. So, fathers, go into the word this afternoon. Once again, we come before you because we need you. We need you to teach. We need you to help us to receive. So I ask for fresh mercy and unction from your throne so that, Lord, your word will flow out of me as a stream of living water, making me an oracle of God, that it will come in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that the faith of your people will not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So let your word go with power, accuracy, clarity, and simplicity. Let it break yokes. Let it enlighten our understanding. Let it strengthen our ankle bones and our feet, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, hastening your coming and redeeming the time in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, let your peace be established in every storm, in every circumstance, in the name of Jesus. Let your joy flow like a river, and let your righteousness continue to bring forth and spew forth from our lives, that our lives will be one pleasing offering, a harmony orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, the director, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to be concise and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, but redeeming the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the great privilege once again that He has given me to share the Word of God. And I thank God for my fathers, by whom I stand here, not just the instruction to come and to share the Word, but also the enablement, the power of God, the wisdom of God from their prayers that is in the air. And I trust God that God will have mercy on us and make this Word a Word of refreshing to them and to you, my brethren, in Jesus' name, that our lives will all be transformed, including my own, in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, the Lord dropped a word in my heart entitled, Receiving the Word of His Grace. Receiving the Word of His Grace. You could say receiving the Word of the Kingdom, receiving the Word of His Power, but receiving the Word of His Grace. And we'll go straight into the word, Acts 20, verse 32, in the Amplified Bible first, and then in the Message Bible secondly. Let's look at it. Let's read it together, brethren.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amplified. All right. And now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care. That's what our parents have done. And I commend you to the word of His grace. Now listen, to the commands and counsels and promises of His unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. What's he saying? He's saying that he has entrusted us to God, and that in particular, he's commending us in order to stay where God will be able to reach us. He's commending us to the word of his grace, to the instructions, the counsels, and the promises of his grace. So we have to accept everything in that word of grace. We can't leave everything out, because what it will do is that it will build us up and give us our rightful inheritance that we have been set apart for from before the foundation of the world. Message Bible, please. Now, let's read together. Now, I'm turning you over to God. our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be. Brethren, God can make you. He is making you. If you will accept it, he can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. Hallelujah. The word of his grace. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. King James. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, his death and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. That's the word of his grace. Things concerning the kingdom. It's a word that comes with authority. It is a word that comes with balance. It is the epignosis of the word of God. There was one 2 or 3 days ago, the epignosis of God's wealth. How we can generate God's wealth, how we can release it, and how we can receive it. What the purpose of the wealth is for. It doesn't leave anything out. And many times when that word comes, you know, it's a comprehensive word. To the glory of God in this house, we have been privileged to hear this kind of word all these years. All these years. We've heard this kind of word all these years. All right? And the essence of the word, so it's a special nutrition that God has prepared for those that are going to enter the kingdom. It's the word of the kingdom. You know, it's, you need it to be able to have the strength and the wisdom to enter into the kingdom. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 19. So that word is designed to help us to grow up into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's the spiritual power from the Holy Spirit. Next verse. That Christ, that's the word of his grace, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of the body of Christ, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is where God wants us to get to. The Bible says that word is able to make us get there. He's able to make us get there. That's what the Bible says. That scripture said, Acts 20 in 32, said in the Message Bible. So that we can be rewarded with the glory of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says that we have been called to the obtaining of the glory. Whereunto by God we called you by our gospel. Notice that it is this gospel of the kingdom that talks about this. It's the word of God that talks about all this. These are the weightier matters of the law. These are the higher things. These are living the foundational principles. So you need the foundational principles in order to have this on top. But this is what the word of his grace is. And many times when the word of his grace comes, it's different from what we have heard hitherto. We've heard the milk of the word of God. So many times when you introduce strong meat, there's a tendency to prefer the old. That's why the Bible says, that's why the message is receiving the word of his grace. We must not, because it is different, many times because it is uncomfortable, because many times the Bible says that there is nothing hidden with him with whom we have to do. So it's important that, you know, when that happens, many times we don't run away from the word of his grace. If you allow that word to work in you and you process it, it will take you from where you are and deposit you in the kingdom. That is what God wants us to learn today. Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Pastor Dave was sharing from this about a couple of weeks ago. NIV, please. New International Version. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. And he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Next verse. So the grace appeared teaching. Grace appeared teaching. That's why it's the word of his grace. It appeared teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It's very possible. Next verse. "While we wait for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." Next verse. "Who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good," or what is godly in God's sight. So we see that this is the word of his grace, okay? And our attitude to it is vital. We must not stay with the milk of visions and dreams, the milk of, you know, watered down word. Because this word, if you look at it, look at Proverbs 22, verse 20. This word is the epignosis of God's word. It says, "Have I not written unto thee excellent things," next verse, "in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." This is the word that when the enemy comes, you send it back to him. And you scatter everything that he has built. It's this word of his grace. Bible talks about excellent things. So that's excellent things is in threes. So this word tells you the what, the why, and the how of anything in the kingdom. Health in the kingdom, prosperity in the kingdom, deliverance in the kingdom, faith in the kingdom. There is a what, there is a why, there is a how. It's comprehensive. So that it doesn't leave anything out. And many times when it comes, it begins to expose hidden things that are inside our hearts. And that's why God sent it, to get those things out. God will help us in Jesus' name. The Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, tells us this from verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." They saw him on the mount when he was transfigured. So it's not a story they are telling. They are saying that we saw it live, face to face. Next verse. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Next verse. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him," where? "In the Holy Mount." Next verse. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Stop. He's saying that experience of seeing Jesus transfigured, hearing God the Father say, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased, there is a more sure word. Is the word of his grace. "A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." This star will arise in our hearts in Jesus' name. What does it say? God is saying that when you hear the word of God brought out, a living word that comes out from this pulpit that you and I are privileged to hear regularly, it's important that you take heed. That we take heed to the word, so that we will not lose out from what God wants to do. You know, so it's a mature word. It's the word of the kingdom. is authoritative. It's but look at Acts 18, 24 to 28. You see, it's not very common right now. That's why the Bible says that there's a famine of the word of God. You know, you don't hear this word of his grace everywhere. It's going to be very soon by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. But you see an example in the Bible. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. The man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit. There's nothing wrong with Apollos. He loved the Lord. He was on fire for God. He was mighty. Bible says he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. The only problem was that his scope was limited. Next verse. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfect. Perfectly just means completely. So he was not limited to just what he was saying. Next verse. And when he was disposed to pass through Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, he helped them much which had believed through grace. Next verse. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Apollos grew. Mighty, nothing wrong with him, but he grew into it. See, many times, God sends it to a servant. And if you don't listen to that servant, you're not going to get it anywhere else. He sent it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus had it. Then he gave it to Peter and John, you know, those apostles. If you didn't hear those men, you will not hear that. You're not going to get that knowledge. So you cannot, it's very important that, you know, we are open to what God is saying. And it's that desire that fishes us out. We are open to what God is saying to his church. You know, and like Kenneth Hagin, if you didn't listen to Kenneth Hagin in the faith dispensation, I wonder where you would be now. Because that was God. God appeared to him to teach him. The grace of God appeared to teach him so that he could teach others. Alright, so we see that this is the word of his grace, okay? And it's important that we watch our attitude. What attitude do you have? Look at Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, verse 13 to 20. This talks about our own attitude now. Because this word of his grace is what will produce love. It's what will produce the fruit of love in our lives. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So he's giving us a principle that affects all spheres of life. That's what he said. Okay? And interpreting on the sower soweth the word. This word is not just the general word of God. It's the word of love. The word of God that will produce love in our lives. That's what he's saying. Okay? All right. And look at verse 15. Right? And these are there by the wayside when the word is sown, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they that reject the word. They don't accept it. They say it's too hard. Peter was speaking about this. He says some things that Paul, our brother, preaches that are hard to be understood, which the unlearned, rest. The unstable and the unlearned rest it to their destruction. These are they don't accept the word. The word of God must conform to what they hear. They don't submit themselves to the word of God. They expect the word to conform to them. It's not correct. So that attitude, the God is pointing out that attitude to us. Of course, for many of us in the house, this may not be the case, which is why you're here. Amen. I know many that have come and have gone, you know, because the word of God that came out was doing a work in them, and they just couldn't. It was so alien to what they had been receiving from a gospel that entertains you, that is all about you. God is out to serve you, which is not, it's not that it's not true. God is out to serve you, but after a while, as you grow, God begins to change your diet. What parent will keep giving a child milk and semi-solid at 8 years old? You are still eating Friso cream, Cerelac. You are buying the one with wheat. You are buying the one with sorghum. You are buying, which one does he like? That's the one you are taking. It cannot meet your energy needs. And it, so the child has to change. So the parents have to teach the child how to eat those things. And, you know, the popular amala, you know, and in a way do. And the thing just slides down the throat without, before they can say, I don't want. It's already gone. And all of a sudden, the baby realizes, that was good. There are no hunger pangs again. And then all of a sudden, if you give the baby that milk, after a while, they will spew it out of their mouth. Everything is training. Everything is so nutrition is key. There are many malnourished Christians. Not their fault. It's the fault of the leaders, which is God. God's going to sort that out. But you know, we're not hearing what we should be hearing. So it's so difficult to handle what is coming against us. But God has an answer. Amen. Amen. And you and I are part of that answer. So we see that the first that reject. So this verse said, no seed. They don't accept the seed. Next verse. And these are they that likewise are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Next verse. And have no roots in themselves, so they endure but for a time. After when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they that don't have revelation. They have the word. They received the word, you know, but they did not have a root of a decision. Bible says, if any man, John 7:17, let's look at that. John chapter 7 says, if any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So it's not just enough to say, oh, it was a good sermon. The question is, have you aligned your will to do the word even when it's inconvenient? That is the root he's talking about. Are you going to walk in love even when it's not convenient for you? Even when it's as if it takes everything out of you? That is what God is saying. Then you have a root. That is the root. Because light now follows that inclination of your will. So this category of saints have to take root downward. 2 Kings 19:30. In order to be able to bring forth fruit upward. If we don't take root downward. So our roots in Christianity must keep going down and down. You keep making a decision to go further and deeper and wider. The Bible says, talk about the length, the breadth, the depth, the height. It's talking about dimensions. I'm going to go more. So each time when you get to a certain dimension, God will come again and stretch you to another dimension. And you have to say yes in your heart. And when you say yes, then you go down. And you begin to see, it. No? And then we go on to the next category. Verse 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns. The Bible says in Jeremiah, says, sow not among thorns. Such as hear the word of God, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, they choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. All these three categories do not bring forth fruit. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. But it's important to know why they're not bringing forth fruit, in the sense that we need to allow our roots, anytime you hear, consciously and deliberately let your roots go deeper. This category, they receive it, they accept it, they have some light in their minds, but they do not have the discipline and the time management to pray and back it with the power of God. It takes power to walk in love. So when you don't have time to pray, you will know you should walk in love. We've all been there, haven't you? You know this is what you're supposed to do, but you don't do it. Yeah, I'm the first that is guilty. Yes. So you need to pray, because the love of God, as Pastor defined for us, is discerning by the revelation that comes from the Word of God, desiring by the compassion from the fruit of the Spirit, and doing by the power of the Holy Spirit what God will do in every situation. That is love. So what God is telling us is this, that you cannot do it without revelation, you cannot do it without power. And that's what he's pointing out. And in verse 20, we see that this is the minimum of where we find ourselves. And we're going to move up in Jesus' name. It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100. So this category have a root. This category have a power of the Holy Spirit flowing. So they're bringing forth fruit at different levels, depending on the level of our diligence. How diligent are you with the instructions? Brethren, you can look at it, and ask yourself, how far are you willing to go in your love walk? Because you can see examples. Look at Mark chapter 10. An example of the thorny Christian is Mark chapter 10, verse 18 to 22. Okay? And yes, it comes to God, Lord Jesus, and says, good master. Next verse, please. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Loved him. What he was feeding on could not do this. He needed to change something that he was doing. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor. And that's love. You need revelation to do that. You need power to do that. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You need light to see that. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He didn't see it. If only he knew that whatever he gave up, he was going to get good measure, pressed down, shake it together, 100-fold in this life, under covering of a perfect master. He will have treasure in heaven, and from that treasure in heaven, God will be feeding all the treasure on earth. So it wasn't just, so what he had was basically what he had. That's all he had. But he did not have anything in his heavenly account, was zero. All he had was possessions in his earthly account. So as Christians, when you pay your tithe, when you give your offering, when you're walking with God, you have purposes. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Your treasure is not on the earth. Your treasure is in heaven. And God can fill your earthly treasure from the storehouse in heaven. That's how we feel Job's storehouse. Job lost everything on earth. God corrected Job's attitude and then opened up the storehouse, and the whole thing flowed back again. But he didn't see it. So that's an example of not seeing. And then people that are in that thorny, example of a thorny heart, and then example of the heart that is, that example of a stony heart was what I just shared with you. And this now, the one of a thorny heart is 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 7. Just verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 2 in verse 7. Thank you. Okay. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, and they too, Elijah and Elisha, stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they divided hither and thither, and so that they too went over on dry ground. Stop. Now this is my point. These people, 50 sons of the prophets, knew that Elijah was being taken away that day. They knew. So they had some light. But they were not following. So they did not have power. These are the has-been. May we not be in the has-been group in Jesus' name. Oh, I used to be. I used to have. I used to do. That's in the past. They were there. They got to Jericho before Elisha. But Elisha passed by them. May we not be stagnant where we are. May we follow on. That means that, you know, you keep accepting more of the word of God. When you accept to do more, you follow on. When he said, I want to go to Gilgal, it's a type of, I'm going an extra mile in love. Are you willing to follow? It's not by force. You can stay here if you want to stay here. I'm not staying here. I want to increase my love walk. I'm going to follow you. And he went past people who had been there long before them and came back with the glory. That's our portion in Jesus' name. So we see that this is what God is saying. Why is this important? Well, we must cultivate love for this word. Just as I explained about solid food and all that. Because it is what will grow us up into disciples. And ultimately, as we delight in it. Because you see, the first thing this word brings, you do is you start by doing it with duty. It's a duty. You come, you listen to it. You know, because it pokes at areas of your heart, areas of our lives that we need to change. And that's the way it is. That's the way God has designed it to be. It's supposed to bring you and God closer. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? So God wants to sense the world so that he can remove whatever is causing disagreement between us and him. So that we can then come close. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. That's the will of God. So we see that's what God is doing. We must not turn away our ears. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Say, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Next verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Next verse. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. May we not turn from the truth to fables in Jesus' name. We are going from truth to truth, from truth to more truth. But he's saying here that you have to apply your heart onto it, your ears to it. You have to keep your ears stuck onto it and keep listening. Because if you don't listen to it, before you and I know it, you know, we can easily just drift away. That's what he's saying. And you know, because it tastes different, it's important to mention is that we must listen to it for at least a year. At least there, look at the type in Esther chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. We know the story. It's the type of the Lord Jesus Christ looking for a bride. So there are many people that want to enter the bride of Christ's company. And everybody was gathered in one house. Now we read. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, a type of Lord Jesus Christ, after that she had been 12 months, 1 year, according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to know 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, with other things for the purifying of the women. What's he saying? Leave it there. Just don't. But what's he saying? He's saying that when you start hearing the word of his grace, for 6 months, it will be oil of myrrh. It will be bitter. It will be poking. It will be poking. It's like a surgeon's scalpel. It'll be poking and pointing out and correcting and admonishing. Stay with it. Stay with it. Because after that 6 months of oil of myrrh, you're coming to 6 months of sweet odors. When you start getting revelation of your own. And God will start talking to you directly. Because the heart has been plowed. That word plows the heart and removes hidden things that are hindering the word of God. All the thorns, it begins to point out the thorns. But if you don't have time for it, because today you are in church, tomorrow you're not in church, tomorrow you're not in church, that one you couldn't listen, this one, so you're missing it, fairly consistently, then it's going to choke. That thing is going to choke the little one that you already have. That's why you need to make sure that consistently you make the time for at least 1 year. And then, of course, after that, it becomes a habit that you allow the word of God to do. All right? Okay. The Bible says in Acts 11, 25 and 26. I'm not going to turn there. That the apostle Saul went over to Antioch and taught them for a year. And it was there that they were first called Christians. So we see that. All right. So that's the first thing. That word, it's inconvenient, but we bear the inconvenience for at least a year so that we can grow and it can plow our hearts. All right. Next thing, okay, is really more detail, is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Please give it to me in the Message Bible. Yeah. So let's keep at it. And eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience. God means what he says, and what he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. So this word will expose. It will expose doubt, human reasoning, error. For example, look at Mark 12, 24. Mark 12, verse 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. The power of God working through the scripture. Next verse. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry, nor are they given in marriage, but as angels which are in heaven. Next verse. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spoke unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Next verse. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. Now, stop. Imagine you are on that other end. And he's rebuking. You ask a question. And he's rebuking publicly. It's embarrassing, isn't it? It is. It's about telling you that not only do you err, you greatly err. Eh? And you are supposed to be respected for your knowledge among people. And he's telling you, how can you say something so... that's unreal. It doesn't happen. And he corrects. That's what he's talking about. It comes out straight. Even though, of course, they were dishonest, but that's what we have to that's what we have to bear. That word comes, brings rebuke. It rebukes hypocrisy, rebukes sentiment. It corrects attitudes, hidden sins, and it produces sound doctrine and instructions for perfection. That's what God is saying. And number three, it is the incorruptible seed, that will keep us from worldly motives, methods, and means that Satan uses as a trap. Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at James 3:17. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Why is he saying this? He's saying this because there is a wisdom that is from below, from Satan, that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So it's not enough just to have the word. Satan told Jesus, say, command the stones to become bread. You are the Son of God. He quoted scripture and told him, jump down. But he had to filter it with James. He had to filter it. Whatever is pure, is this the character of God? Is this loving kindness? Is this justice? Is this righteousness? If it's not this, then we're not doing it. We're not doing it. So it comes to deliver us. And then, of course, that love, that word of God, now develops the love of God in our life so we can receive answer to prayer. So it is important to understand that this word is designed to transform us both as individuals and as a body. Bible says, 1 John 2:5. Bible says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Amen? So that love is perfected in us. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:26, as a church, that he might cleanse it, sanctify it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Next verse. That he may present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So that holiness that we're singing about, that God wants to give us, is by this word of grace that we listen to. This is what God is telling us. So how then do we make sure that we're always open and receptive to God's word? Having been born again, the child of God, we must identify true spiritual fathers. These are people that do the word of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, from verse 1. Wisdom had built a house, she had hewn out 7 pillars. Next verse. She had killed her beasts. Stop. She had mingled her wine. She had also furnished her table. The beasts there are the beasts of burden, the beasts that carry the burden. That's the apostolic and the prophetic. So this kind of word comes from people who are dead to self. That's why when they preach the word, it comes out with authority, comes out with power, because the vessel is dead. So it is Christ, as it were, speaking to you. And when that word comes into you, just check your life. Has your fellowship with God improved since you started listening to that word? That's how you know whether you are in the right place. Has your fellowship with God improved? How has your sin rate been? Do you still sin at the same rate as you used to? You know, what are your desires like? What is your lifestyle like? Once you see that there is a difference, that is the place. Once the sin rate drops, the word begins to purify, you come under covering, you now begin to see yourself changing right before your very eyes. You can't deny it. It's telling you that you're in the right place, because that word has brought you into fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's the aim. So that's the first thing. Okay, look at Luke 22 verse 10. Luke 22. And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. Next verse. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Next verse. And shall show you a large upper room furnished. There, make ready. Now, this is a physical story of Jesus wanting to eat the Passover with his disciples. But he's also talking about a man with a pitcher of water who ministers unto you life of God, the word of life. And that word of life takes you from where you are and where I am and puts us in an upper room where we are waiting for the promise of his coming. That's how you know. They take you to an upper room. They tell you that this is not all there is, though. Everything in this world is not all there is. There is something higher and greater. This is not the real you. You know, God has plans for you, and they prepare you in that upper room. So that's important, okay? Therefore, number two, our attitude must be one of reverence. The messages that they share, we go over them. This is important, brethren, because this affects your diligence, whether you are bearing fruit at 60-fold or at 85-fold. It's just about how seriously the details, you take the details. You know, so these are the details. You must review apostolic messages. Everyone that you hear, you must go over by the help of the Holy Spirit. And then read your Bible in the light. So as you read your Bible, God begins to drop keys that will help you interpret and unlock your Bible reading. So you can see yourself and be motivated to run the race that God has set before us. It's so important that we understand this, because, you know, I'm not saying anything new, but the question is, God wants to take us to a higher level of diligence. He wants to translate us just that little bit up on the upward way. Is what God wants to do. So it's important that we pay attention to these details, because that's what God is doing. Okay? Right. Now, so pay attention to the word of God. Now, with love, there are three things you must understand. No, the seed of the fruit of the Spirit are already in our spirits, you know. But when it comes to bringing forth fruit, three things Pastor has taught us to do. We sow the word of God. How do you sow the word of God? What I just said now. Bible reading, meditating on the word, confession of the word. That's how you sow it. Then you water it by receiving the life of God into your heart and praying in tongues and praying with travail. So that you water it, you weed it. The prayer does that. Supplication, it will weed, you will water, you remove the things that are choking the word. That's how you remove them. And then you now practice love. And that practicing of the love of God is what now brings us into a place where we harvest love in our conduct. So the first thing is to, let's say, we sow the word of God, the water by the life and prayer, and we harvest by practice. So to reap love, or to reap the fruit of the Spirit, what do? We sow in the word of God by Bible reading, okay? By confessing the word, by meditating on the word when you're reading your Bible. Then you water and weed by the life of God that you receive, and then praying in the Spirit. And then you practice your conduct. So you sow, you water, you harvest. That's how you harvest the fruit of the Spirit. But it's just important to understand that you must have a right attitude, there's an authority that God is using to bring the word of God to you. And then you're obeying the instructions promptly and completely. Now, that is where I believe that we need to spend any more time. Just that, those, the obedience to the instructions, because that's where it's really at. We've spoken about the life of God. So the life of God is important. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it talks about promises. Exceeding great and precious promises that promise us the life of God. So we must use those promises to receive the life of God. If we don't have the life of God in a certain measure, we cannot walk in the love of God. We will try, we'll make effort, but it will not be effective. So that sufficiency is what God is saying. So when we're praying, you know, we must concentrate and receive the life of God into our hearts in sufficient measure. That's extremely important. We mentioned that. So I'm not going to. Then, of course, we give our tithes and offerings. We give our tithes. When you give your tithe, you open up the heavens, like we prayed this afternoon. Give your offering. God multiply. Apart from financial blessing, more importantly, you get spiritual blessing. Rain upon your land in its season. The heavens must be open. The real treasure is the treasure of revelation knowledge, of wisdom and knowledge that our hearts are bringing forth, apart from the treasure of physical and material riches. So these are key things that must be there. You know, and check, do you pay your tithe promptly, completely, cheerfully? No. As the first thing that you do. It's like this. We need to make sure that we do those things. Okay? Alright? So, then now, the other instructions, watching and praying once every 6 hours. You know, at every opportunity, in every temptation, receive mercy to be faithful, bind the devil, watchful binding, pray briefly in tongues, you know. And all. So when the devil, as you're walking all through the day, you stay in communion with God all day. But the foundation for that is Good Morning Jesus prayers, where we pray together collectively as a family, you know, in travail. And that corporate prayer generates far more power than you could have generated on your own. So that's a good place to start. Particularly, you know, in the first, every time, all of us attend Good Morning Jesus prayers. It's compulsory, you know. But what I'm saying is, it's critical for you in the first 6 months, because that's where the power is coming from. That is plowing your heart. And then when the heart is plowed, the word that you are hearing that you didn't understand, you begin to understand. It's spiritually discerned. You begin to see it. You begin to see yourself in the scripture. Okay? And then we must cultivate two things. Importunity. Let's say importunity and tenacity. Two important things that mommy has spoken about. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 2 to 5. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. She was a widow. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she what? Weary me. That's what he's saying. Okay? That you weary me. Look at verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Next verse. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh, and he will find faith on the earth in our case, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, why did he use the term widow? Widow is like defenseless. He's using a widow specifically. It's like someone who is defenseless, whose rights can be easily trodden over in a society that is dominated by men. But it has another meaning. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Notice that word, indeed. For if any widow have children or nephews, let them first show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Next verse. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. That is the widow that unjust judge is afraid of. A widow who trusted in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. And I have an example of that widow in Luke chapter 2, 36 and 37. Luke 2, thank you, 36 and 37. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. I wonder why the Bible will say that. In this age where people say virginity is not important. Young people, male and female, don't let anybody lie to you. It's important to God. He wrote it. Keep yourself pure. He wrote it to describe her. So it wasn't just because she was a widow. She had already had it long before. She kept herself pure. And then she got married. Then her husband died after 7 years. And then from that time, next verse, she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Fasting, prayer, supplication, and the prayers. You get the picture. Put it all together. So she lived a life of consecration. She and Simeon were widows. Simeon was not a widow, but is that company that trusts in God and continues in fasting and prayer to see his purpose come. They were responsible for the birthing of the first Son of God. And God is now raising up another widow company that is going to birth these sons of God. They will not depart out of the temple day or night. The same is the same. I know that. So God is saying that it's time for you and me to make ourselves eunuchs for the kingdom. Matthew 19:12. You make yourself a eunuch for the kingdom. So the things of the kingdom, yes, for there are some eunuchs which are born from their mother's womb as the biological accident of the devil. And there were some which were made eunuchs of men. And there are eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, that's why he said that. Because it's the word of the kingdom. You may not be able to receive it, but that is your portion right there. A eunuch for the kingdom. What does it mean? It simply means using the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the lust of the flesh so that the things of the kingdom are your priority. That's what he's saying. Our husbands will not die in Jesus' name. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual truth. That's what we're talking about. And it has a reward. Do you believe that everything the Lord Jesus did, Simeon and Anna have a share in the reward? They have a share in the reward. It will accrue to their account spiritually because they were instrumental in raising all the years he didn't know how to pray or he couldn't pray. They were there to take care of him. So anything that comes out of that is just like, you know, if somebody does well for himself, you know, his parents will reap the benefits, true or false. So the same way in God's economy. Look at Isaiah 56, verse 4 to 7. Isaiah 56, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths. Come to pray. 2 day fast, 3 day fast, you know, Saturday, Gideon's, you know, all night. and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Next verse. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. That is, you couldn't get it better if you have biological children. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Next verse. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Next verse. Even to them will I bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon the altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. This is a company of people that create an open heavens. So angels are ascending and descending. They're going to be prosperous now. They're going to be protected. They're going to be blessed. They're going to be fruitful. They're going to exercise dominion. Why? Because they live under an open heavens. They are connected to the storehouse in heaven. There's nothing that they need that they will not be supplied. That's what God is saying. It is that word of his grace that is able to build us up, to get to a place where we are totally eunuchs, where we have succumbed, where we have no desire. It's a process. No desire for the things of the world. And all our desire is turned to pleasing him and fulfilling his covenant. That's what he's saying. May God help us. So it takes importunity. It takes tenacity. You know, the Syrophoenician woman kept following. I'm not going to give up. Just had a hope. And you're just following. But he said something. And when he said it, she accepted it in humility and love. Love is the answer to prayer. That humility in accepting what he said brought the answer to our prayer. Even though she was not of the tribe of Israel. It's important. God is telling us that if you keep this hope in front of us, if we keep following in faith and we keep walking in love, answers to prayer will be coming into our lives consistently. You may not know the time, but just keep doing what you're doing, the Bible says. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, as we close. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's the eunuch company. That's the widow company. That is the company that have allowed themselves to be purified by the word of his grace. Next verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Our attitude to the word, the effort we put into the word and into instructions that we have been given, talk to God and ask him to help us
I will trust you and obey as your Spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I agree, and my answer now is yes, Lord, yeah.
I say yes, Lord.
I say yes.
I say yes, Lord, Lord, yes.
To your will and to
I
your
say
way.
Yes, Lord.
Ooh, I say yes,
Lord, yes. I now trust you as your Spirit speaks to me.
As your Spirit speaks to me.
To me,
Lord,
as your Spirit speaks to me,
Lord,
with my whole heart I agree,
and my answer now is yes, Lord, yes.
Let's raise up our right hand in faith unto the Lord, put our hands on our hearts, and look to Him. We pray and say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood. We thank you for the word of your kingdom, the word of your grace, the word of your power, that we are privileged to hear the word that you have sent to build us up and prepare us to enter and receive our inheritance. Heavenly Father, I come to repent of not taking heed unto this word. I receive mercy to be faithful. In Jesus' name I have life. Lord, help me to be more diligent, to receive your word, to read it, to meditate it. Help me, Lord, to pray from a heart full of the life of God, and pray in the Spirit, in tongues, and with travail. So I will weed my heart from thorns and cares that seek to choke the word. And then help me to practice the word, so I will harvest the fruit of the Spirit, so that I will go from more fruit to much fruit, to much more fruit, that my life will glorify you in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord, so that I will enter into the fullness of all that you have prepared under the covering of our fathers, inheriting the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Runda katenda, rompe kenge deve beton, rapa kase moseta, jenga leva bantam beka kanto, menge leve berete topa kasanto basa, jopa katante leve beria po, rapo papa keleba. Keneba peke tobo sata, raso sekeden, reko pakede, mako pakede beberia, ropa papa, ropa popopopopopopokoto, ramba kotomo seto, jenge de beberi kanai, kando bosede, menge de beberia bakotea, ropa pakototo, beke de beberia, ropa popopopopokotebe, jenge de bemanete, beko bakato, ruseta, dumapan, jeko mato kose, jeke de Roboto Pikele, Rapa Papa Kodemen, Kodima Pican, Tuba Piken, Pukan Pukontikan, Robobobom Piken, Robobobom Bakan, Jenkarama, Popa Popo, Rupe Kosomesata, Jeffrey Keku, Longe de Bibinian. In Jesus' name, amen. My brethren, once again, it's time to receive of the Lord. That childlike faith. God is a good God. Receive of Him in faith. And thank Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, under the covering of our fathers, I will just come against every spirit that may be enforcing infirmity and sickness, enforcing lack and insufficiency, enforcing worry, anxiety, Lord, we come against every such spirit in the name of Jesus on the covering. We bind you. We break your hold over these ones in the name of Jesus. And we now loose the angels of God to bring the answers on the wings of love into the lives and the experience of all those that have reached out to you, Lord, in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
And my answer now is yes, Lord, as your Spirit.
Father, indeed, we say thank you so much for your great mercies upon us. The visitation, Lord, with us this afternoon, this morning. Thank you for the covering of the Father of the house, their prayers. Thank you for your servant who we've used so wonderfully today. Thank you for the love, Lord God, shed abroad in our hearts by the unction and the power of your Spirit. We say, Lord, we say in our hearts, Lord, yes, Lord, have your way. Take your place. Come and work in us and through us all of your good pleasure, that we might be well-pleasing, not just pleasing, Lord, but well-pleasing in your sight always. We thank you so much. We're grateful. We take nothing for granted. It's been by your might and your power, and because of your love and mercy. Thank you for helping us, Lord, to stand perfect and complete in all of your will in this day of your showing. We're grateful, Lord. So under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, all of us being subject unto the same, we declare and say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes his head and not tail, above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in everything that we set our hands upon to do, and we are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. And the Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of the Spirit that is without measure. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, of John, and of the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell you once again, we're going to the other side, and there'll be no bones broken. You can be sure of that, because the Lord has spoken in Jesus' name. God bless you all.